Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm laughing already. Oh, you guys are the greatest. Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard on a Friday, day two of being a bachelor. That's right. I am the bachelor. How come they're not putting me on TV, right? How come they're not making a documentary of my 2 weeks without Andrea, sitting here in the cave, ready to rock and roll for fantasy baseball? And I got to tell you, man, it is as my yes, I did. I posted up yesterday. Over the weekend, I called MLB a radio, and I talked about stolen bases. I have made a living since 1964. It's not a living of money; it's a living of enjoyment. By calling in sports talk shows. I called Grant Paulson on Saturday, or was it Sunday? I spoke to Steve Phillips this morning. Todd Hollingsworth, who do a great job talking about the possibility of Ian Desmond now coming over to Tampa. We'll get to that right here. And, yeah, to me, you know what? This is what baseball, this is what sports does. It's something that I did when I was a little kid. And we all talked baseball. We argued who's – and it all goes back to that song, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. That's right. Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. That was the proverbial argument. Who's better? Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, and we could argue all day. So we still talk about all kinds of stuff. And, of course, yesterday the trade made by Colorado – over to Tampa, and I'm going to talk about it, you know, because nobody knows. Nobody talks about it the right way. I'm just listening to some people talking about it this morning on a station that I'm very familiar with, and they don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea the ramifications of this deal. But so you got Corey Dickerson. Now, he's 26 years old. He led Colorado with 24 home runs, and he's got 4 years of control. And they send him to Tampa to get a relief pitcher. All right, and McGee, who's a free agent. Now, Dickerson has 4 years of control. McGee is a free agent in 2017. McGee, he missed 6 weeks with a knee injury. He also had bone spurs in his elbow. So what is Colorado's making a statement here? Does anybody realize Colorado is making a statement? They are saying, we are going to win now. And what are they doing? Anybody notice what they're doing? And I got to interrupt myself because we have a celebrity who just walked in. Cha-Cha is the rage right now. I believe they've spent all morning talking about the Cha-Cha DFS basketball video, and I got to make sure that it's up on our site, with Andy being out, and not a lot was done yesterday. But Cha-Cha went all in on DFS. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt the Dickerson thing. This is more important. So Cha-Cha went all in, spilled his guts, told the truth about how he feels. Now, other people may disagree. And, of course, you know, I give the boys at Sirius a lot of credit, Adam and Scott, for actually paying attention to this video, because it does speak for some people, and it was so well done. And let me tell you something. Cha-Cha has been a friend of mine for a couple of years. He's a big factor, a Section 8 up on my website, and he's not there because I owed him anything or he owed me anything. He's there because he's damn freaking good. All right, he's entertaining, and every once in a while he makes some sense. Okay, he's made some sense. So take a look at the video, and they're talking about it, and people are calling in about it, and it's a fat. So Cha-Cha, congratulations! Finally, all the videos people are paying attention to Cha-Cha, and I advise all of us to pay attention to him as well. So anyway, Dickerson's going, and now he's going to Tampa. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I said Tampa was my team. Tampa was my team, you know, my long shot team, and now I like him even more than ever, okay? So with McGee missing 6 weeks of the season with a knee injury and bone spurs in the elbow, and Dickerson, who was getting paid $512,500 last year, $500,000. He's going to go through arbitration in a year or two, I believe next year. So here's the deal. Now, Colorado says they're going to win now. And what are they doing to try to win now? Did they get a starting pitcher? No. But here's what they've done. And here's the position that they're taking. You take a look at that Colorado pitching staff, and there is nothing there that's going to excite you. I mean, who's going to excite you in Colorado if you're looking for a pitcher? All right, you're going to talk about Jorge De La Rosa, who actually has done pretty well there. Chris Rusin, another letter, John Gray, Chad Bettis, Jordan Lyles, Tyler Chatwood. Are you freaking kidding me? Give me a break. But here's what they're doing, and I think Colorado is going to experiment with something. If you're paying attention, and I know you guys are, here's what they've got. Colorado signed Jason Mott. They spent $10 million to sign Jason Mott. Colorado signed Chad Qualls. This is all happening in, you know, this year. $6 million for Qualls. So they got Jason Mott. They got Chad Qualls. Now they add Jake McGee. Who else do they have? They have Adam Ottavino, who'll be coming off of Tommy John surgery. Who else do they have? They got lefty Boone Logan, who has performed very well out of the bullpen. I'm taking the position that Colorado, rather than load up on starting pitching, is just going to tell their starting pitchers, man, this is going to be something new. Five innings out of you guys. That's it. Go the full five. That's it. Then we're going to bring in Ottavino. We're going to bring in Scott Oberg. We're going to bring in Chad Qualls. We're going to bring in Boone Logan, Christian Bergman, Jake McKenna. They're going to go bullpen heavy in Colorado to try to pile up some wins. It's the only alternative because, let's face it, the Rockies, you have a very hard time getting Colorado pitchers, you know, getting pitchers to come to Colorado. There's no question about it. The pitchers, in my opinion, who've had the best success in Colorado, as I mentioned before, have been the pitchers that can keep people off balance. Not the hard throwers. It's the guys that have learned to keep the batters off balance, and as a result, the ball is not hit as hard, it's not hit as long, and those are the kind of pitchers. So let's see if they can develop those kind of pitchers and then bring in the Motts, the Bergmans, the McGees, the Logans, the Qualls, and Ottavinos. You know, maybe they'll shake it up a little bit. So that's to me what the deal was. And as far as Tampa goes, so Tampa saves a little bit of money. They get a $500,000 player as opposed to McGee, who was making about $5 million. And this could very well open up some slots. Now let's take a look at the Tampa lineup. I love the Tampa pitching staff. There's no question about it. I really do love the pitching, especially if Cobb comes back, and they didn't get rid of Odorizzi. And to me, that was a big deal. So with Chris Archer, could be among the best pitchers in the American League, Odorizzi. Then they got lefties Drew Smyly and Matt Moore and Alex Cobb. Forget about Erasmo Ramirez for a second. I love it, man. I like the starting pitching staff. I think it's second to the Mets. Really, there's good young pitchers on this ball club. And they can do a job. But what do they need? Okay, so now they've saved some money. They've saved money, no question about it. And at catcher, they got Rene Rivera and Hank Conger. Now, Conger, as we know, he hasn't thrown out anybody in about 4 years. But Conger is the – I think there's a possibility that if Tampa wants to spend the money – and Tampa, as you know, as when I Hollinsworth reminded all of us, including myself, that just because Tampa is saving money doesn't mean they're going to take that savings and spend it. But they could wind up with Jonathan Lucroy. But I think what's really going to happen here is with Logan Morrison, James Loney at first. I'd love to see him sign Pedro Alvarez, even though he can't field a lick. Logan Forsythe at second. Evan Longoria at third. I'm skipping shortstop because we've talked about Ian Desmond. One of the reasons they didn't sign Ian Desmond is because of the fact that he was a little over their salary. So Ian Desmond, I think it just makes a lot of sense. Ian Desmond will come to this ball club if they want to give up the compensation pick. That's all there is to it. But I think now with this trade, they may be able to sign Desmond to it. They may be able to give Desmond a 3-year contract. All right, and that would be worth the compensation pick. 1 year for Ian Desmond, losing the compensation pick, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think Ian Desmond will sign for a couple of years, and that's what I think that could really, because when you take a look at the outfield, You got Desmond Jennings. We're still waiting for his big year. You got Kevin Kiermaier, who's become Joe DiMaggio. You got Steven Souza, who, if he breaks out, could be a pretty good player. And, of course, they just picked up Steve Pearce. But Corey Dickerson, now we know that Dickerson hits under 250 away from Coors. And, but still, you know, he's 26 years old, led Colorado with 24 home runs. Now, don't forget, one of the big things, and if you've ever had plantar fasciitis, you'd be a little bit afraid of Dickerson. He was on the DL three times last year because of plantar fasciitis. Now, I had that once, and it was a killer, man. You can't, I mean, you just can't walk. You just can't. So, but on the road, he had .249 with an on-base percentage of less than .290. And so I'm really believing that this Tampa team did a great job. They still got Boxberger in the bullpen. They got Alex Colome in the bullpen. Xavier Cedeno pitched very well from the left side as well. Danny Farquhar, only 2 years removed from having a pretty good season as a closer. So there you go. Interesting trade. I love what they've done. And so I think Tampa has really solidified themselves as a potential. You know, if the pitcher, look, it all, if Matt Moore and Alex Cobb come back with a vengeance and become the pitchers that they once were. Now, I'm not talking about pitchers that didn't do it. Now, Moore never really blossomed, but certainly showed that he could be good. And Alex Cobb, of course, was considered to be one of the best pitchers in the American League at one point. So there you go. So that's what I'm thinking right there. Very happy to say that Buck Davidson is I could see him. So Buck is in the chat room. First time ever I could actually see somebody in the chat room smiling, right? that's right. So, what is it, Tampa Bay? Is it Tampa? I don't know. Who cares what the name is, okay? All we know, it's Tampa. Now, a couple other things going on in Major League Baseball with the Doug Fister signing. Baltimore was number two in the Doug Fister race, okay? That's right, number two. So in the Doug Fister race, and what does that say about Yovani Gallardo now? Yovani Gallardo's market is drying up faster than let's see, what can I use without getting a little weird? Okay, so anyway, Doug Fister is now with the Astros. Question mark is, I think he should do pretty good. I mean, hard to say, you know. What are you, people are going to tell you how good he is with a good lineup and a good, nobody knows. I mean, Fist is so up and down. But the point is that Baltimore was second, and the Orioles, you got to question. I mean, here Baltimore spends $160 million on a Chris Davis. And as good as Chris Davis is, let's face it, man, not the greatest fielder in town. Could hit .210. He could, right? And it's all home runs. And they can't afford to go the extra dollar and get a pitcher. So that now, as far as Gallardo is concerned, they're going to have to give up a draft pick. And that's the other thing. So interesting situation developing there. As far as here's an interesting note out of Chicago. You know, I'm reading some quotes and some conversation from Mike Borzello. He is the catching coach for the Chicago Cubs. You know, teams have catching coaches. They have first base coach, second. They have coaches for every position. You would think that they do. Anyway, Mike Borzello, the catching coach for the Chicago Cubs, has come out and said he wants Kyle Schwarber catching and doesn't want him to play left field. How about that one? What does that have to do with Montero now? So Borzello's the catcher, says he thinks that Schwarber can develop his game even more, has developed it enough that he should be the catcher. Left field is the kiss. Don't forget, what, Chris Coughlin is now the fifth outfielder, and what, he had 16 home runs or something last year? So let's keep an eye on that. You know, it'll just mean that Schwarber, you know, may not be taken out in the seventh inning for defensive purposes. It may also mean that Schwarber could be more comfortable catching than worrying about balls flying over his head. And so, yeah, I'm kind of liking this. It's going to be interesting to see how much Kyle Schwarber actually does behind the plate with Mike Borzello, the catching coach, saying he wants him to catch. Now, Chris Owings, you know, I take Chris Owens, when he came up, he was supposed to be a shortstop who could hit 10 home runs and steal you 10, 15 bases. He fell short of that in the power department, but he had a bad shoulder all year long, and he finally got that shoulder cleared up with some surgery, left shoulder surgery. So keep an eye on Chris Owens. I mean, just watch him. If you're going to be doing mock drafts, this is a guy that you want to pay attention to, only because you can probably see what happens. You can probably see how this guy pans out, and you may even be able to get him after the draft. Lots of talk in the chat room that Solar will be in a platoon or be traded. Hey, look, Timmy, the Cubs and the Tampa team were hot in pursuit of each other, but that was when the Cubs wanted a closer. Now the Cubs want Jake Odorizzi. And the question is, will Tampa, now that they've only given up the closer, could they make that trade, Jake Odorizzi for Solar? Do you think that's a trade anybody would do? Solar for Odorizzi, and then they sign Dexter Fowler and play him in the outfield. They don't have to give up the compensation pick for Fowler. So this is something that still could work out. Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein have both said that they are looking around. They're trying to, you know, to get that starting pitcher. And they were also trying to get the relief pitcher closer, the veteran type. But, you know, Rondon did a pretty good job last year. So I wouldn't count out that trade. Would you make that trade? Odorizzi too valuable? Yeah, he could be, but if they sign Dexter Fowler, who has been rumored to be signed, you know, and also, Tim, I had yesterday I said that Dexter Fowler could sign with the Cardinals as the sleeper team. And my thinking is, after the Cubs took Lackey and Jason Heyward from the Cardinals, I mean, the Cardinals got to come back and take one of their guys, right? Dexter Fowler. So it's not clear cut, but the Cubbies, the only team that will probably wouldn't have to give up any kind of a pick. Out there in Cleveland, it's pretty much official now. There's been rumors, rumors sparked by Michael Brantley himself, that Brantley could be available for the start of the season. It's not going to happen. Michael Brantley is going to miss the first month of the season. First month of the season, Michael Brantley is going to miss. So you have to keep that in mind for a lot of reasons. Who's going to be in the outfield for Cleveland when Michael Brantley is gone? Yep, it looks like Almonte is going to be the center fielder. Didn't play too poorly last year. But Abraham Almonte looks like he is penciled in to start and could get the first month of the season. Roger Davis is there. That's why they acquired him. Lonnie Chisenhall, my sleeper, is there too. I'm not thrilled with Colin Cowgill or Robbie Grossman. Those are just the guys. Joey Butler, another interesting player, but not ready. So Brantley is going to miss the first month of the season. You can etch that one in your kitchen table, and all the talk about Brantley coming back will absolutely not happen so fast. Won't happen that fast, all right? So that's the news that's up to date. Now, with all the talk that's been going on, the one team that really has me scratching my head, Hugh Darvish, I just want to get to this point about Darvish. I don't think people know what to do with Hugh Darvish. And there was a question asked to Jared Wilk this morning on Sirius. He was asked, what do you do with Hugh Darvish? He said, you can get him in the middle rounds. That's pretty much it. He had Tommy John surgery in March. Now, he's going to, you know, to think that he could start the season in April, no, that's not going to happen. He probably will have a hard time even throwing in the spring. So you talk about middle of the season. So do you spend the mid-round pick on Hugh Darvish for a pitcher that may come back in the middle of the season and have an adjustment period coming back from Tommy John? But it's interesting. All right, look, I'll get to Texas in a little bit, probably on Monday. But the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels, man, this is a team that is just absolutely making me – it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, you got a team here, okay, with the best player in baseball, Mike Trout. You got a team with the former best player in baseball, in Albert Pujols. And as I've mentioned so many times, both of them hit 40 home runs last year. And what happened? What did they finish? Like 12th in the league, in the American League. They finished, that's 12th in the American League in runs, with two guys hitting 40 home runs. And what does that tell you? That tells you their lineup is just unbelievably weak, and they haven't done anything. Now, there's been a discrepancy as to how much under the cap they are. I heard one rumor of $2 million. I can't really figure it out, but 20, then there's a room. If there was room to add somebody, then why haven't they done it? I mean, how could they do it with the window of opportunity closing, with Mike Trout possibly being a free agent, what, in 2019? But Albert Pujols, he says he's going to probably start the year on the DL, but he says he's feeling good, and according to Pujols, he's ready to start the season. But there's nothing else, and there's so many players out there that can absolutely help him. Now, the big key, as I talked about the other day, is if they can trade C.J. Wilson. But they got to do it, man, because time is running. Players are running out. I mean, Howie Kendrick fits this team better than anybody. Now, Kendrick played for the Angels, but they do have to give up a draft pick. Maybe that's biting them in the craw. I don't even know what that means, but you know what I'm saying. So if they can trade C.J. Wilson, it still – now, even if they trade C.J. Wilson and they don't get a pitcher back, what does that mean? It still gives them Garrett Richards. It gives them the aging Jared Weaver. Now, I know that, you know, Wilson and Weaver are just about ending their – I think next year they become free agents. Andrew Haney, the good young lefty, Hector Santiago. They still got Matt Schumacher. And I ask – I've lost track of this guy, to tell you the truth. I know who he is. Maybe Tim McLeod knows who he is. Maybe Phil, Fantasy Phil. But what's going on with Tyler Skaggs? He's the left. I mean, could Tyler Skaggs emerge? You know, still Trevor Bauer, Tyler Skaggs. Remember those guys were supposed to be untouchable? They were supposed to be untouchable. Who's the guy from Baltimore? It was Tyler Skaggs, Trevor Bauer, and Dylan Bundy. Right? That's like Pulsifer, Isringhausen, and Wilson for the Mets. Look, we had these three guys, and all I can say to this is, forgive me, but on the count of three, let's say it all together. I'll allow for the delay. One, two, three. A rookie is a rookie is a rookie, okay? You had Skaggs, Dylan Bundy, and yeah, oh my goodness gracious, it's crazy. Thank you, David. You're right, Skaggs. Interesting pick coming off Tommy John surgery. But still, you know, this is what they got out there. They got some names that they can get rid of C.J. Wilson. That's the whole point. The bullpen is good. Bullpen with Houston Street and Joe Smith. Not a bad bullpen. Cam Bedrosian is going to be developed into a nice player. But offensively, the Angels haven't done anything. And, look, they just don't. I mean, with Pujols comes back, they're going to put C.J. C.J. Cron is the first baseman. Okay, I know that's David's guy, David Leisure, C.J. Cron, and he was pretty good on it. But Johnny Giovitella and Taylor Featherstone, and you got Howie Kendrick just sitting there waiting for someone to take off. Why did they acquire Andrelton Simmons if they weren't going to make a push? When they acquired Andrelton Simmons, I'm figuring, okay, the Angels are going to be in the market. They're going to be doing – they haven't done anything. And at third base, you know Escobar? Does you know Escobar profile as a third baseman? Is he better? He's not even good as David Fries offensively. I like the backup, Caleb Cowart. Now, the reason I like this guy is because I sat next to his mother in the Arizona Fall League. Very nice person. And they were cheering for Caleb, and I didn't even know who he was at the time. I started cheering for him too, right? But that's the beauty of the Arizona Fall League, all right? Caleb Cowart's mother and father were there. I sat next. I didn't know who they were. Now, the outfield is pathetic. I mean, and it's not – imagine a pathetic outfield when you have Mike Trout. But they got Mike Trout. They got Cole Calhoun is emerging, of course, we all know. But Daniel Nava, yeah, I mean, on base percentage, Craig Gentry, what, are you kidding me? And even when Pujols returns and they put C.J. Cron, this is, look, obviously, but who do they guys try? I thought Justin Upton was going here. He's not going there. So it's really pretty interesting that this is a ball club that is nowhere. And it's all because of Artie Moreno's hesitancy to go for the over the luxury tax. And it's just he's gotten burnt. So the question is, you know, Artie's gotten burnt so many times. And even the Mets, you take a look at what the Mets have gotten burnt so many times with Jason Bay and Bonilla and, you know, all these guys, even the David Wright long-term contract. Do you think that general managers get shy away when they have bad experiences with these high-priced players and long-term contracts? Do you get the feeling that Sandy Alderson and the Mets really wanted Jonas Cespedes? This could be the first time that I'm following baseball that I really believe, and of course they'll never acknowledge this, the Mets' spin on it is that they played it smart. Patience prevailed, okay? They know what they're doing. I have a feeling that Sandy Alderson was almost embarrassed not to get Cespedes. Not that he wanted it, but almost embarrassed to get Cespedes, okay? So pretty interesting that that's what happened there. Fantasy Phil says Lagares is going to the A's. I don't think so. Nope, don't think so. I don't think Lagares is going to the A's because he's got a four-year extension on his contract. So with that kind of stuff going on, not likely that anybody's going to get traded. So I'm waiting for Kendrick to sign up with the Angels. And I don't know, certainly they don't need a pitcher. And I'm also waiting to see if they are able to unload the lovely and talented C.J. Wilson. And as far as Texas is concerned, I got to tell Tampa, I'm beginning to like the Texas Rangers as well. I mean, you take a look at that bullpen that they put together. Texas's bullpen is pretty interesting. I got to tell you something. The American League is far superior to the National League. National League's got some god-awful teams. The American League does it. Cole Hamels and Hugh Darvish coming back the middle of the year. And here's the thing. This is a very iffy team, but if this team clicks, if Martin Perez comes back strong, the lefty, Derek Holland comes back, the lefty. They've also got in the depth department, Chichi Gonzalez, and don't forget about A.J. Griffin, all right, Nick Martinez. So they got some pitchers here. But the beauty of this ball club is the bullpen. I mean, Sean Tolleson is considered the closer. I think that Keon Keeler will eventually get that spot, Sam Dyson. But Tolleson throws 94 miles an hour, and that's the slowest of the seven pitchers scheduled to be in that bullpen. That's the slowest, all right? Everybody throws 95 or more except for Sean Tolleson, who throws at 94. So this is what baseball, and they wonder, all right, let's put the DH up. Yeah, let's move the fences in like we're going to do in Miami. That's going to change the landscape of scoring. It can't. You got eight bullpen guys and seven of them, or seven bullpen guys, and six of them throw 95 or more. I mean, there was a day that, Texas is a scary team. There was a day, and I don't even count Joey Gallo, Eric, but there was a day where if you had one guy who threw that hard, it would be pretty good. So that's what it is. Now, Odor is a nice catalyst. The only problem is take a look at his record. He just doesn't he gets caught stealing too much, and that's a little bit of a problem. Just a little bit of a problem, but we'll see. But yeah, Texas is going to be a very interesting team, and so on and so forth. So American League is going to be really interesting to watch. Okay, come to the website. If you want to be in a league, you're looking for a league, we got a spot to put your name in. If you're looking for a new owner, got a spot to put your league information in. Don't forget, the bold predictions are just crazy. So put your bold prediction in. Pick your teams for the World Series. That's $100, I think, if you could pick your teams for the World Series. All right, everybody. sincere thank you for joining me this morning. We'll be back again Monday morning. Don't forget, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. Send me your phone number, designated day and time, and I'll call you back.